Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. And I know it's like a dream come true for you, isn't it? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And we got a good friend who's with us now, ladies and gentlemen. She's Nicole Galinas has joined us. She is the Searle Freedom Trust Fellow. Say that three times real fast. The Searle Freedom Trust Fellow at the Manhattan Institute, which is an organization that I'm very fond of, and the people who, all the folks who work there. And she's also a contributing editor to City Journal. And she's here to talk to us about some of this this financial issue, this financial crisis, this financial scenario we've got going on right now that now has involved very, very much the federal government, and therefore you and me, ladies and gentlemen. And she's going to help us sort some of this out. Nicole, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Good to be on again.
It's good to have you back. It's always a pleasure. You're always welcome here. Nicole, I'm starting to hear people get angry about what's going on right now out here in the marketplace, out here in flyover America. I'm talking to people, and they really are getting angry about Wall Street going hat in hand to the government. And you know, whether they understand that the money that the government may put in is actually could wind up being an investment like we did with the Resolution Trust, whether they understand that that if the government doesn't step in, that we could have some serious problems, they may swallow that like some bad medicine, bad tasting medicine, but it still makes them mad.
Sure, absolutely. And I would say also confused. I mean, I'm a little confused, frankly. There's no, this just seems like an action that's being done out of panic. There's no indication that this is the right solution. And this idea that the government can find a price for these opaque, complex securities when the private sector can't, I think people are rightly a little bit skeptical of.
Well, that's exactly right. And no, I'm always, and I said this earlier in the hour, in the top of the hour, Nicole, I have to say this, it troubles me to say this, but I really believe, I really have decided that I believe what I'm about to say. I'm convinced that if we don't do the bailout and things get really, really rough, that will be something that we will work out of in 2 years or 5 years or 10 years. It may take a long time, but we'll work out of it, and the marketplace will still be whole. It'll be scarred and you know, knocked around, but it'll be whole. But if we let the government come in, as they're talking about doing, it concerns me that we'll never have, capitalism will never be the same in the United States. What do you think about that?
I think that there's a real grave risk of that happening. I mean, here we have the government basically stepping in and saying to lenders of certain companies, you know, basically the remaining financial institutions that still have these assets on their books, that we'll take care of you, that we're so worried that you're going to pull your money out of these remaining institutions, that we're going to protect you from the losses that you should be taking for not doing your homework and investing in these companies. And it's very bad when you say to the lenders of any private sector of the economy, you guys are protected, because then in the future, if you're thinking of lending money to either a remaining investment bank or a commercial bank, or you're thinking of lending money to, you know, a software company or something, you're going to say, well, I know when I invest in the bank, if it goes belly up, the government will step in and make it whole. control again. So that's very bad for the economy, and it's also bad for the political and social support for free markets. I mean, everyone's always saying, you know, if a bank helps somebody to buy your factory and they close down the jobs, that's just the free market working. But the problem is, if that bank has a government guarantee and it's doing that, it's not really the free market, and it won't take people very long to figure that out.
Well, and especially when the government is one of the reasons why we're in this problem to start with. They created these GSEs, these government sponsors and entities, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They created them, and they didn't have any oversight over them. In fact, they had less than oversight. They were lobbied to stay away, and they did stay away, and a lot of bad stuff happened. And folks, I'm much more convinced that the economy, the marketplace, can solve its problems, even if it hurts for a while. But if we turn to the government, well, you know what the government does when they try to fix things. Quick break. 20 till. We're right back with Nicole Galinas. Stay with us. Little Chicago bringing us back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Nicole Galinas is with us. She's with the Manhattan Institute, also contributing editor of City Journal. And we're talking about the financial crisis that's going on and the possibility of some kind of help. And I'm using the air quotes now, folks, help from the federal government. Nicole, one of the things to be fair and balanced here, as some people say, it is possible. The Resolution Trust organization that was in place in the late 80s and 90s, early 90s, to clean up the SNL crisis, that actually turned out to be a good transaction. That actually was a success story. Is it possible that this bailout of the financial markets, the $700 billion, if that's what it winds up being, or more, is it possible that when all is said and done, that this could wind up being a net positive for the taxpayer?
It could, but I think it's outweighed by a big risk, or at least weighed by a big risk. I guess listeners have to judge whether it outweighs the benefits, which is that with the case of the RTC, these institutions had already failed. And the federal government, in fact, had no real choice. It was already insuring the depositors of these institutions.
We kind of knew what those assets were worth because they were on the books. We didn't have to go buy stuff, did we?
Right, and we weren't propping up institutions and keeping them from failing. Mm-hmm. We were taking over the assets of failed banks.
Right,
and this was already our
job.
We let
them fail, and then we cleaned it up rather than try to preempt it.
Right, and this was already clearly the government's job. The FDIC was already in place.
Right.
When an institution failed, the government had to take over these assets.
There was no big decision to be made. The damage was done, and it was a matter of just cleaning up the mess.
Right, exactly. And here, instead, we're going in with institutions that we basically hope to just prop up and keep around by taking some of these bad structured assets off their books. And I think it's not very good for the economy if you've got lenders to institutions who could say in the future, well, I know I'm safe because if they ever get in trouble again, the government's going to step in and help me. So I'm going to keep lending to these financial institutions and not worry about the risk that they're taking. And that's kind of, you know, there's so much uncertainty now. I mean, the government bailed out Bear Stearns' lenders. They let Lehman's lenders go under. I think we need to be
the moral hazard. You could cut the moral hazard with a knife here, couldn't you?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, the government needs to be clear that lenders to bad institutions will kind of take their lumps if necessary. If, you know, you go through a reorganization, there's not enough money to pay them back, they've got to suffer too. And here we seem to want to prevent that from happening, and I don't know if that's very good.
Well, you know, Nicole, not that I shed many tears over Wall Street, because I often have said that Wall Street is cross purposes with Main Street many times, and this is clearly one of them. Wall Street got us into the bind we were in with the dot-bomb crisis And now they've done it again. But Wall Street's never, from what I can see, Wall Street is not going to look anything like, it's going to be a figment of its, you know, just a shell of its former self going forward, isn't it?
Well, it will certainly be different and possibly smaller.
Three out of five of the financial houses are gone?
Yes, that's true, and the other two are converting to commercial bank holding status.
There'll be no more investment banks on Wall Street. I mean, what kind of a new day is that?
Right, but I think it's important for people to remember that, you know, you've got a whole bunch of smaller investment banks behind these banks, and so eventually these institutions, they now have an opportunity to get bigger. So we can't say, you know, oh, the investment banks are gone, we don't have to worry.
So are you saying that this is an example of how, you know, folks, that's the beauty of the marketplace, isn't it, Nicole? When things go down, it actually creates opportunity for other people.
Sure, absolutely. You've got many small firms, much more nimble firms, although I do think, in general, the financial industry could be much smaller for a long time. One of the causes of this crisis is that it just got too big for itself, and that's not a bad thing. You know, it's bad if you're in the financial
industry. And that's what I mean, Nicole, when I say that I think we ought to let the marketplace work. I with all due respect to Mr. Paulson and Mr. Bernanke. With all due respect to those two very smart guys, way smarter than me, not even close. I'm such a free marketer. I'm such a laissez-faire guy. It just really upsets me and concerns me that the government is going to step in and save the marketplace. That is just a sick thought for me, Nicole.
Right, I generally agree with you. There are certain things that the government can do to pump money into the money markets, try to get lending going again without propping up institutions that made terrible decisions.
Yeah, absolutely. Nicole, give us the website there, please.
Sure. We're at city-journal.org and then manhattan-institute.org.
And so check those out, folks. And now your most recent column was on what's going to happen to Wall Street in New York City. I mean, the tri-state area is going to be severely impacted by this. Already has been, isn't it?
Right, that's true. This industry provides a third of wages and salaries in New York City. It's going to be very tough.
It's going to be tough. And my thoughts and prayers go to those small business owners who are on Wall Street, Nicole, who are trying to support them. They're vendors to that industry, and it's going to be tough on them, too. My thoughts and prayers go to them. Hey, Nicole, thanks for being here. I know you got to go. Thanks for your time today. We'll see you next time.
Oh, thank you so much.
Nicole Galinas, ladies and gentlemen, she'll be back. I will be, too. My last thoughts after these messages.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.